Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2011. Lecture 8, delivered on September 21, 2011. The title of this lecture is Financial Analysis Practicum.
Today, Financial Analysis Practicum. In front of you is a sheet. This actually is a small and somewhat modernized version of one I used in old school days, not my school, but when we did this in the real world, back in the days before computers took everything over. And as I said, this actually was built starting as a spreadsheet, just the blocks in an old spreadsheet program. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Lotus 1-2-3. And then it was imported, it was transferred to Quattro Pro and ultimately to Excel. But we used to print these out, and we would actually go through financials and work out the numbers on paper. And then from there, once we did the technical calculations, we would look back and say, what is this telling us? And that's what we're going to do here as a happy family today, is we're just going to crank through these numbers. And then once we have the numbers, then we talk. What are these numbers telling us? What is the story? How would a financial analyst do a report about this, what is in these numbers? Now, this weekend, what I'll do is I will actually have a quiz online, and I'll give you a Fortune 500 company, and you won't have to do all of this. I'll give you just a little bit to do, and I'll say, now you do the calculation. Now, in one sentence, tell me what it is you see right there in front of you. This is old school stuff. Way too often now we do that. You have computers do everything, and you have some technician kind of look at it. Well, the numbers should be here, and they're here, and all that. Now, this is the old school way of doing it, and it's still the right way to do it. Why is it the right way? Because I say so. Okay, now, we're going to talk about Costco here, and you're also going to see something else. A surprising amount of the time, what you see in a textbook isn't the way it is listed in financial statements, and oftentimes financial statements have a lot of numbers in them, and you're looking around, what's the number I'm looking for this ratio? This helps you understand how to deal with that kind of confusion the real financial statements have as we plow through it. It doesn't take all that long to do it, but there are two different approaches. Now, the way I always did it was I got the ratios first and then went back and calculated the changes in the ratios from period to period. Some people just go through row by row, get the numbers, get the changes, get the numbers, get the changes down the line. What I'll do is I'll probably just attack it ratios first, then go back and look at the changes in the ratios, percent changes. And along the way, I'll be emphasizing units so that you don't make any mistakes like that on a quiz or an exam as well. So let's talk turkey here. When you do financial analysis, the analytics, the first thing we do is we just write down the stupid revenue. And then we look at the changes, and we'll do that right off the bat. I did that the last time. So if we look up here at this company, Costco, we see that the revenue... Now, you got to watch it. These are from the most current back, and the sheets that we always used were from the old to the new. So be careful about that because it's in the reverse column order. So we'll look at 2008 first, and if you look at 2008, revenue, total revenue was 72,483. And you just write that number down, 72,483. Yes, we write that down if I have a pen. 72,483. And then we go on down to 2009. Oh, let me look here. I don't need to look at that. 71,422. And then 2010, we'll look at that and we get 77,946. Boy, I wish they had their 11s out already. They should be coming out pretty quickly. I got to this before they got their fiscals done. Actually, I wish I might have called the company to see if they would give them to me. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Now, just cranking on through, let's just get the deltas on this, just the changes. So for the 2008 to 2009, I would do 71,422 minus, well, let's turn on the calculator. That always works for me. 71,422 minus 72,483 and take that and then you divide that by 72,483 and then you multiply it by 100 and you get a negative 1.46%. And remember, two decimal places always with me, it's house rule. Now, wherever you go in your work, you'll see house rules for numbers, for the way you write things up. And I'm just, this isn't universal house rules, but I am introducing you to the idea of house rules. This is two decimal places for me. And I get negative 1.46% is a change in revenue from 08 to 09. And then we'll do 09 to 010 would be 77,946. Minus 71,422, and then you divide that result by 71,422, and then you times it by 100, and you get I put the positive sign on, 9.13%. Okay? Yeah. In a case like this where you have a negative that showed up, I put the positive just to give you that extra, oh, we went from a negative to a positive. That's actually a good question. It's a stupid question in a way, but it's a good question because in general I wouldn't. But for when I have things flipping from negative to positive, I do put the positive on it. Okay, now the next one I'm going to do, and like I said, this is sort of a truncated version of the ones that we used to use, which were about 2 pages long. I'm going to just go here to net income after taxes. And if I look at 08, going down the grinder to 08, I look at net income after taxes. And this is kind of funny. They say income after and income before. Net income for 2008 is 1,283. And then 09 is 1086, ooh. And then for 10, oh, happy, whoa, look at that, 1303. And then we'll just get the deltas on that just while we're on this line. Matter of fact, I might just do the deltas as we go down the line here now that I think about it. So 08 to 09 would be 1086. Minus 1,283, and then I divide that result by 1,283, and then times the result by 100. Ouch! Boy, that hurt like hell. And then we're going to do the delta on 09 to 10, 1,303 less 1,086. Equals divided by 1086 is, and then times that by 100 is 19.0, positive 19.98%. Now, before I go on, you got those numbers, and I want to make sure you can get these numbers, because then we can do a quick little flash analysis just off these numbers. Notice how the change, let's look at 08 to 09. Notice how the change, the loss in revenue, got magnified like hell by the time you get down to the bottom line. You see that? That is actually a well-known phenomenon. It's called leverage. Now, a little later in this course, you're going to see that there are two components to leverage. There's operating leverage, and then there's financial leverage. Essentially, fixed costs cause magnification. They cause magnification on the downside and magnification on the upside. So in that regard, what is happening here is that there are fixed operating costs that are going to eat into your net income, and there is interest that's going to eat into your net income. Those two don't change at all. So you see, if you have a bad year, you have to take care of that bad year's fixed expenses, and they aren't going to vary just because you had a bad year. So you're going to get your butt kicked. Do you see that magnification? But then on the upside, notice how the magnification benefits you on the upside too. See how your revenue went up by 9.13%, but your net went up by 19.98%? That's that magnification, that leverage, which again comes from both fixed operating costs and from your fixed interest expenses. That's playing on the upside to your advantage. So essentially what it is doing is creating volatility. Now, you don't love volatility, because volatility can kill you, but it can also help you when you're recovering from a bad year. Now we're going to go and just do some margins here. Your gross margin. And if you recall, your gross margin is not going to be anything too complicated. I hope you all brought that sheet with you for the gross margin. As a matter of fact, I might want to put that up here in case. I was thinking maybe I ought to put that up on the overhead for y'all to have. You want your financial ratios. Maybe I ought to put that up here so you, in case you don't have your sheet with you. Bear with me one second. I'm going to... Well, give me a second. I'm going to put the financial ratios up here so we can switch back and forth. Bear with me one second. I'll put that financial sheet up there, that sheet of ratios up there for you. O11 formula. Okay. See if I can fit all those on one. There, I did. Okay, great. Okay, now. I want to turn. Okay. Sometimes it takes me a while to figure out how to do things. Okay. Okay, now, gross margin is gross profit over sales or gross income, depends on how you want to say it. And if we look gross profit. Now, we're going to go through and do the ratios. So we're going to do the gross margin for 2008 first. 8980 divided by 72,483. 8980 divided by 72,483. And then you times it by 100, because this is a percentage. And if your gross margin will be 12.39% for 08. Now, talk to me about something very quickly. Is that a dramatically big number or a dramatically small number compared to revenue? Talk to me. Look at the numbers. I got a gross margin, which is after I take out my cost of goods sold, my cost of revenue, as they call it, I have about, just south of 12.5% of my money left. What's that? Is that a big, sizable number, or is that a small number? Yes, small. They have wiped out, just on cost of their goods, close to 80% of their, close to 90% of their sales revenue. That is dramatic. But let's see if that is typical. We go to 2009, and I want you to calculate it on your own, and then I will call out the number. I want to make sure you can do this for 2009. And again, that's a percentage. It's a percentage of revenue. So you put down a percent sign. Now, what did you get? What is it? 12.72%. What do you notice? Is that wildly different from the 08 number, or is it about in the same ballpark? Come on, what do you see? About same. In other words, the cost tracks the sales. They got a little bit hit there. It was a little they did a little bit better in 09. But the cost will those costs of sales will track the sales fairly well because they're exactly tied to the sales. They're basically a percentage of the sales. Almost always you can, well, in many cases you can assume that cost of goods sold is a percent of sales if you're building a pro forma. In other words, a projection sheet. Okay, now 2010, you will get for the gross margin 99.51. Divided by 77,946. And then you multiply that by 100, 12.77%. Okay. We do notice a tiny trend, but it's actually fairly modest here. And it should be. This should not be a significant issue. But there is one case where it could be. Calculate the deltas on this real quick. I'm going to do 08 to 09 would be 12.79 less 12.39. I'm sorry. Oops, I screwed that up. That's 12.72 minus 12.39 equals divided by 12.39 minus, let me do that again. Somehow that didn't come out. 12.72 minus 12.39 divided by 12.39. Times 100 is 2.66%. Is that what you get? Is it went up 2.66%? There's a little bit of a rise there in cost of goods sold. And now I'm going to do the last one, 12.77 minus 12.72 divided by 12.72. Really? Was actually an increase of only 0.39%. A very small rise. Now, let me ask you a question here. And this is actually how we do financial analysis. We think our way about what numbers are saying. So for example, why normally cost of goods sold should stay pretty much the same percentage of revenue from period to period. And as I said, usually we can just assume cost of goods sold is 35% of sales or something like that. Here you see that there is some change from one year to the next. There is a little bit of a change. Why would in the period in 2009, from 2008 to 2009, why would cost of goods sold have gone up as a percent of sales? It didn't go up much. It went up about 2.5%. Why would that happen in that time period? Do you have a speculation? And there are a couple of different ones. If you say something that's completely ridiculous, I'll say, God, you're an asshole. No, but there are several different ones, and I'll tell you the one that probably is in play. But why would you say cost of goods sold might rise a little bit as it did with Costco? What would be a possibility? Anything? Go. Well, talk to me. What? What do you mean? Oh, now that's an interesting thing. Geez, that's not bad. Someone give him a cookie. That wasn't bad at all. Knock it off. Okay, what else? Anything? Okay, here's one. In a recessionary environment, you're not going to have as much ability to pass along price increases, cost increases. See, your customers are in bad shape. And especially at Costco, you've got the kind of people who possibly have lost their jobs, lost hours at their work. So if Costco had their prices on their buying at wholesale go up, they might not have had the latitude to pass those price increases along to their customers. So what you would see is that they would be willing to some extent to eat cost increases rather than trying to pass them along to their customers and have their customers say, well, the price of this went up. I can buy it at a cheaper price at Walmart or at Aldi's. So, and that's what I heard actually on the street, where it was a number of retailers were saying, you know, in 08, 09, there were cost increases they just couldn't pass along. They had to hold price points because they didn't dare hit their customers with it because their customers were very price elastic on the demand curve. Okay, so that, although yours I will buy, I will take that one. I would also, the one that I heard on the street mostly was, we just couldn't pass some price increases along that we were incurring because our customers just couldn't pay higher prices and they'd just go over to Walmart or Aldi's if we tried to pull this, or some of the regionals. Okay? That's why you would see that kind of thing. Okay? And I by the way, I don't expect you to know, see these right off the top of your head. This is why we do this, so that you begin to see reasons or possible reasons. And a lot of it, you have to talk to people in the business to get the actual reason or to get a better reason. Going down to operating margin. Okay, there's operating income. So operating margin is going to be your operating income over your revenue. So we'll do 1969 divided by 72,483 times 100, and that gives you 2.7. Geez, is that right? 2.72%? I specifically was avoiding actually doing Costco on my own just so I could see these like you're seeing for the very first time. Do you get 2.72% for the operating? Okay. 2.72% for 08. And then 09, you do operating income, which would be 1777 divided by your sales, 71,422. Times 100, 2.49, whoa, Yeah, they got hit. And, oops, 2.49%. And then for 2010, we've got 2077 divided by 77,946 times 100, and you get 2.66% of recovery. Okay? Now you can see that your operating income, actually, your operating margin slipped and then recovered. Didn't recover as much, but now let's do the percent changes here. For 08 to 09, 2.49 minus 2.72 divided by 2.72 times 100. So we operating margin dropped 8.46%. And then in 09 to, from 09 to 10, we got 2.66 minus 2.49 equals divided by 2.49 times 100. Whoa, hey, is that right? 6.83? Happy days. Okay, now, you notice that operating margin slid more than gross. That's the effect of operating leverage. Your fixed operating costs are creating magnification. That's part of that overall magnification you see in net from revenue to net income. The part that was caused by fixed operating is the operating fixed cost. Yeah.
Operating income, like it says 2077
for 2010. It says for income before tax, says 2034. They're all zeros in those accounts right there. You know what they're saying? Tell me what they're saying. They have no debt. Let's switch over and look at the balance sheet. You want to? You know what? I said, let's look at the balance sheet. There we go. Well, look at that. Isn't that strange? It says here that they've got long-term debt. You see it? You see it? Good. Now let's look over here at net income. They're saying interest expense is zero. And that brings us to the very deep question, WTF. How could that be? They've got long-term debt. Let's switch over here again. Let's look at their, see if they got any intermediate-term debt. Oh, mother's work is never done. Yeah, they've got some intermediate debt. They got notes payable and short paper. And yet, here they are saying they have no interest expense in those years. Is there a way to reconcile that? Is there a way to explain how it could possibly be that they could represent that they have debt, but they have no interest to go with it? How could that be? Anyone want to speculate? Yeah?
That they're selling interest, and that's why they have an interest income.
Interest income. Now, they're not selling. How would they sell their interest? They owe the interest to their bondholders. They're selling their liabilities to someone else. But they would have to show that very clearly in the financial statements. And yet, here we have, now tell me, how would you find out what in the hell is going on there?
Talk to an accountant.
Well, there's an easier way. Yes. Oh, I love it when you talk dirty to me. You look at the footnotes, because that's the only place they can explain. They would have to explain it somewhere. I promise you that the SEC investment companies are going to ask them, what is this? Explain it. So they are going to have to put it somewhere, and the only place that they would be able to, they could, if it's not here, is in their footnotes. Here's why we have long-term and intermediate and short debt, and we are listing that we have no interest expense. Now, right off the top of my head, the only way I could explain it would be to say that they're doing ZCBs. And I would say, are you crazy? Now, zero coupon bonds mean that you borrow at a discount and you don't pay anything back for 5-7 years, and then you just pay it all back with at the end. In other words, you borrow $1,000, what you actually get is like $600, and then at the end of 5 years, 7 years, you pay $1,000 back. That's a ZCB, a zero coupon bond. It's like a long discount bond. I showed you the T-bills are discount. That's the only way you could do that. But you would still have to have a reserve somewhere for interest expense. So let's go back over to the balance sheet. Geez, this is a lot like work. Let's go back over to the balance sheet, and let's see if they have an accrued interest of some kind in their liabilities. Accrued expenses, no. Deferred. Capital leases. Wait. Other? Are they accruing interest in this other account here? Look at how big that is. Do you see it? That's almost like a giant flare. It's almost like someone lit a giant fart. Look. Do you see how big that is? Only their accounts payable are bigger. But this other. Well, that's really informative. Other? By the way, this is how you beat the crap out of companies. If you're an analyst and you go to one of their dog and pony shows, what are you doing here? You have no interest expense listed. You have total debt that is big. And then you've got this other line that you don't explain. Oh, it's in the footnotes. How about if we explain that right in the financial statements? How about if you don't be accruing, trying to hide interest expense? Which right now it looks to me as if there's something going on there. You've got a monster on your liability side. You're not telling us what it is. Just, oh, other is 2.6, 2.8. That's a lot of other that you're not giving me any detail about. And it makes warning flags come up to me when you have zero interest expense on the income statement at the same time. If I look at that change in that, look at the change in that other. You see how it goes from 2355 in 08 to 2666 in 09 to 2812. In other words, that is some kind of a liability that is getting bigger and bigger over time. They're accruing something and they're not telling me what it is. My first reaction would be, since you have long-term debt and intermediate-term debt and short debt, and you are listing zero interest expense, I'm going to look at this and I'm going to say, you know what? You're accruing your interest. Somehow you've made a deal with your bondholders that you don't have to pay them any interest for a while because times are bad, or something like that. Or you're issuing zero coupons and you're accruing the interest as an accounting thing. Something there is telling me that the interest that they owe is being hidden in the balance sheet. That's just a guess, though. I'd have to look at the footnotes. So let's go up here and look at the footnotes. Oh, well, spank me Jesus. You don't get the footnotes on NMSN. One of the most crucial of your financial statements that can answer questions like that isn't in these typical kinds of places you go for financial statements, like Yahoo, MSN, Google, and all of those. Moving along, and it's like I said, I warned you, there are some times when we can't do anything. Let's look at net margin here. Just push it along here a little bit. Your income after taxes, 332. Where am I? Oh, I'm just testing your ass there. How did that happen? Oh. I was just testing you to see if you were seeing the right financials. Rule one, don't talk and do this at the same time. Okay, let's go clear down here to the very bottom, the one that just says net income. You got 1283 for 2008. You got 1283 divided by 72,483. Times 100, and you get 1.77% net margin. Well, at least it's positive. There's some good news for you right there. And 108, and then 09, 108.6 divided by total revenue 71,422 times 100 is 1.52%. Ouch. And then you go to 2010, 1303. We should hope that it's divided by 77,946 times 100. And you get back up to 1.67. Notice, interestingly enough, right off the bat, you see that 2010 was a good year compared to 2009. But you still, they are still feeling a little bit of damage from that 09 hit. Do you see that? It's just, they didn't completely recover yet. Now, my guess would be that they probably have recovered somewhat, but maybe not. 2010 wasn't the greatest year on earth, and I'm just going to really quickly crank out the deltas on that. From 08 to 09, 1.52 minus 1.77. divided by 1.77, survey says you lose their net margin, pulled back 14.12%. And then 1.67 less 1.52 equals, divided by 1.52 equals times 100, and then they recovered positive 9.87%. So they did improve their net margin, but it is still not as good as it was before the massive hit. Now remember, their fiscal year ended at the end of August. So their 08 results would not have reflected the much at all of the impact of the recession, which really began to sink its teeth in after the financial crisis in the middle of September of 08. So their 08 results would be a lot better than their 09 results, because the 09 would measure the full impact of the recession, the financial crisis, and all of that just hitting hard. ROA. Now, just flipping over here so you see ROA. Return on assets is net income over total assets. So we're going to have to flip here two sheets. Net income in 08 would be 1,283 divided by, and then we flip over to the balance sheet to get the total assets. Where the hell are, 20,682.35 times 100%. So the return on assets was 6.20% in 08. 6.20%. Did you get that? Just make sure you're okay on that. Want to make sure you can just get these numbers down. And then we pull ourselves down a little, go for the next one for 09. If we flip back to 09 to get the net income, 09 net income was 108.6 over total assets, 108.6 divided by the 09's total assets, 21,979 equals times 100. So our ROA peeled back to 4.94%. And then for 2010, let me flip back here. Actually, I can do it that way. For 2010, well, that didn't work. I thought I could do that. Actually, if I 1303 divided by, now let's go back over here to the balance sheet, and you look for the total assets, 23,815. Times 100, 5.47. So 2008 was 6.20%, 2009 was 4.94%, and 2010 was 5.47%. Again, notice not fully coming back from the dead, but if you do the percent changes for 08 to 09, that's going to hurt. That one's going to be a bad one. 4.94 minus 6.20 divided by 6.20 times 100. Wow. ROA dropped negative 20.32%. That is a serious hit. That's a serious hit. And then 09 to 10, 5.47 minus 4.94 equals divided by 4.94 times 100. They recovered positive 10.73%. ROA went up 10.73%. So that's not a good sign. I'm doing my analysis as I'm going along here. Do you see how they got butchered? Their ROA, return on assets, dropped 20% from 08 to 09. 09 to 10, they recovered, their ROA increased only a little more than 10%. So the downstroke was definitely harder than what they have been able to manage to bring back in the upstroke on ROA. Now, if I'm going to speculate here, and I don't do these up front so that I can just speculate and show you whether I'm right or wrong, I will guess that ROE is going to be a little bit more dramatic, but I'll have to see. Now, if I go to ROE, I'm going to look at ROE, the 08 total equity, is 9192.06, and then I'm going to divide that by 1283. Is that right? Yeah, I don't get old like I am. Kill yourself first before you get to my age. It'll save your family embarrassment. Save you money on depends. 1283 divided by, flip to the balance sheet, equity, 9192.2. 0.06 equals times 100. So the ROE, I get 13.96%. Is that right? Okay, now let's do the 2010. It's going to be 1086 divided by, and then go back over to the balance sheet. Go down to equity, total equity, 10.10024 times 100 is 10.83%. That took a whack. And then we'll go to the last one, which would be your income statement for 2010. 1303 is net income. And then you divide that by your total equity, total shareholders' equity, and you will get, let's try that again, balance sheet. Total equity will be 10,829. And then that's times 100. You came back 12.03%. Came back up to 12.03% as your return on equity. In other words, and this is just for 2010, just to repeat what I had said in the last lecture, that 12.03%, that's simply saying that the investors' money that they invested generated for them 12.03%. Now, if I were to do the calculations of those, I would go, for the changes, I'd go 10.83 minus 13.96. All of that divided by 13.96. And I see that I took it just as I thought. You got a more dramatic downstroke, 22.42% drop in ROE. Then on the upside, 12.03 minus 10.83 divided by 10.83 times 100%, we came back up a little stronger, 11.08%. That bothers me a little bit there because I'm seeing that the downstroke was stronger for ROE than ROA. Yeah, the upstroke was almost the same, though, as far as percentage of ROE versus ROA. ROA recovered 10.73%. ROE recovered 11.8%. That's a very small upstroke of ROE versus ROA. It's just something that I look at. Now, real quick, I'm just going to hammer a few more of these out. And then I'm going to encourage you to do the rest of them at home when you get finished here. I do want to do the current ratio here and the quick ratio, current ratio, because that's interesting for a company like this balance sheet. I want to do the current ratio. Current assets over current liabilities is going to be 9462.05 divided by current liabilities of 8874.17 is 1.07. Is that right? Is that what you get? Let me do that again just to make sure. 9462.05 divided by 8874.17, and that buys me a 1.07. Now you put a time sign by that because that is a factor. 2008's current ratio was 1.07. That is an extremely thin current ratio. Looking at 2009, I would do 10.337 divided by total current liabilities of 9.281. That's a little better. 1.11. So the current ratio rose somewhat. And then finally, cranking it through here for 2010, I'd get 11,708, I'll bet it'll go up more, divided by 10,063, yep, did, 1.16 times. So their current ratio is rising. That 2008 current ratio, you know, I don't care about relatives, that is a really thin current ratio. So we can go through real quick, 1.11 minus 1.07. Divided by 1.07, you had a rise of about 4%, 3.74%, and that is a percentage. So their current ratio went up from 08 to 09, 3.74%, and then from 09 to 10, 1.16 minus 1.11 divided by 1.11 times 100, 4.50. They're pulling out of it, 4.50%. So current ratio rose 3.74% from 08 to 09, and then it rose 4.5% from 09 to 10. So you can see that they were, I have a feeling they were a little concerned about how tight that current ratio was on one, and they're pulling it up somewhat. Real quick, I want to do the quick ratio. Quick ratio is really important. You take, for 08, you take 9462.05 minus 5039.41. That's your inventory. You take that out for the quick ratio. And then you divide the result by your current liabilities, 8874.17. And your quick ratio should have come out to be what? 0.50 times. Is that what you got? Now I'm going to do 2010. 10337 minus 5405 equals divided by my current total current liabilities, 9281. Do that again here. Since the number came out to be ludicrous that I see here, minus 5405 equals divided by 9281, 0.53 times. That's 2009. Did you get 0.53 times? 2010, 11708. Minus 5638, your inventory, equals divided by your current liabilities, total current liabilities, 10063. And I get 0.60. So their quick ratio is tracking their current. And I just real quick, 0.53 minus 0.5 divided by 0.5 times 100. So the current ratio rose 6.00% from 08 to 09. I'm sorry, the quick ratio rose 6.00% 08 to 09. And then from 09 to 010, 0.6 minus 0.53 equals divided by 0.53 times 100. Wow! 13.21% increase in the quick ratio. So they're getting themselves better on that. And then the last one I'll do today, I want to do the burn. Quick ratio.
Hey, I wrote acid there. I'm sorry. Burn ratio. That says acid there. I don't know how that typo is in there. I want you to do the burn ratio. The burn ratio. That it says acid there. Cross that out. That's the burn ratio. The burn ratio. For 09, all I want you to do is take 3275.01 divided by 8874.17. Now you see where I got that 3275? That's cash. You see it up there at the top? In other words, all I want to know is if they had to pay off their current liabilities, all of them today, how much cash would, what would cash cover? And in this case, it would cover a little more than a third of their current liabilities, 0.37 times. Now, if I go to the burn on 09, the burn on 09 is 3727 divided by 9281. Their burn is coming up 0.40 times. And finally, 4749 divided by 10063 is 0.47. And that's good news. You see how they're recovering? There was clearly, they were running way too lean from the current to the acid to the burn. They were running way too lean, and they are getting it back in order. By 2010, their cash can pay almost half of their current liabilities. Just their cash can. You see that it was at 0.47 times? In 2008, their cash could have covered only a third of their current liabilities. By the time we get up here to 2010, their cash alone could have covered almost half of their current liabilities. That's a good sign. You fill out the rest of this for Costco. Use the numbers here at MSN for Costco. And then I'm going to put up a little worksheet for you to do as a quiz. It won't be a major thing, just a couple of ratios and a quick little analysis of it for next week. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.